Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Hey, welcome into the show. It's Thursday morning. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show. That's me. I'm Mark. Kim Sainanja has the morning off, and Matthew Rocchio in here with us handling news this morning. We appreciate that. Carl Middleman, Sue Thomas, Ethan, all in, and we'll get to your update, your roads here in a couple of minutes. Actually, pretty calm outside today. Well, much warmer than yesterday. I think you will appreciate that. Like a 25-degree turnaround from yesterday morning when I went out to my car. It's like shocking. I walked out the door, and there were a few snowflakes this morning, but nothing that amounted to anything, and I think it's going to be 45 or 50 starting tomorrow, so we should really get rid of you poor people that live in the city who have garbage piling up, and you've been ice skating on your city streets. All of that should finally go away. Nature will do the city's work for you over the next 48 hours, it looks like, after 17 days. Wow. Sorry about that. Hey, by the way, just a quick reminder, if you missed the last hour, some great information in there for you. You can always download the podcast. We will get all that up there for you on demand at 971talk.com. Or, of course, you can go to the Odyssey app where we put our podcast information up there as well. We had Jake Lang fresh out of jail after being held without a trial in the January 6th case for over 4 years. And you can hear him describe a little bit of what he went through and the prison conditions where he was being held and all of that. We talked to him at about 7:35, about a half hour ago. So you can go listen to that on the podcast. Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger, Jim Talent. It was a big hour, and it's all up there for you on demand. If you want to listen to that, feel free to go back. Coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Not much for her to talk about these days. Talk about access. I mean, these journalists up in D.C. and New York must be thrilled because Donald Trump, president, has talked to them more than the previous president did in about 4 years in just about 3 days. And news is breaking a mile a minute. We're going to get to Shannon and our friend Griff Jenkins here before the bottom of the hour. But right now we're going to get to our top stories.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
The funny thing, maybe the sad thing, is he didn't give himself a pardon. And if you look at it, it all had to do with him.
All the headlines are, did Donald Trump just threaten Joe Biden? Because he pointed out that Biden pardoned his whole family, but he didn't pardon himself. I don't think so. He kind of backpedaled on that a little bit afterwards, saying that, you know, he didn't do it to Hillary Clinton, and he's not really inclined to do it to Joe Biden.
You're going to do a Sig Hail? You're going to do a Hail Hitler? Or their rebrand a Roman salute? It's on.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez continues to highlight her inability to master the English language, but I own a SIG, and I've seen Hail, but I'm not quite sure what she's talking about.
The bill sponsors aren't even close to the city. They aren't even in the same area code as the city of St. Louis, and they only come in the city to go to baseball games and hockey games.
Woo, yeah. Mayor Jones does not like you if you are a legislator from St. Charles County who wants to return control of the city police department to the state of Missouri. She was down in Jeff City yesterday lobbying against that. I have just a sneaking suspicion that her concerns will fall on deaf ears.
She saw an opportunity to feed her ego. She knew this was going to happen, and she rushed to the trough. On the bright side, I have to say, she didn't call him Hitler, which is good. But who knew Satan wore granny glasses and stole his haircut from John Denver?
was Greg Gutfeld last night on The Five talking about this bishop in D.C. that went sideways on Trump during the prayer that they the church service they had 2 days ago. Everybody's talking about it. She's not backing down, by the way, in case you're not paying attention. She said that she saw an opportunity, and she's not sorry for saying what she said there to Donald Trump. And, you know, it was her. Maybe it was his mistake for going there, because 4 years ago when he was in office, she was out there in a double mask at these BLM protests and these other protests calling for his resignation. So I don't think maybe all that should have been that much of a surprise. You know, I did want to point something out. There's been a lot of talk about DEI. We talked about it last hour with Lieutenant Governor David Wassinger, and they've canceled all the DEI programs supposedly in most government agencies now. I think an order went down from the State Department and all of these other departments, including the VA, that you are going to eliminate these positions. And it's been my sneaking suspicion that because of the ingrained swamp and a lot of the fact that a lot of these people are lifers, they'll just call it something else. We've seen it in our schools. Hey, you know, remember the guy in was it Fort Zumwalt schools or Francis Howe, where he said, we'll just call it something else, but here's what we're going to do. I suspect that's going on here. They'll change titles from people who were DEI director to, you know, something else that doesn't sound offensive, and then they will just keep doing what they were doing. Here's evidence of it. I got a message yesterday from somebody who works locally at the VA down in Jefferson Barracks. And this is the email that went out to all of the staff yesterday. I'm going to read it to you. Dear VA St. Louis team, in accordance with the recent executive order, the VA's Office of DEI, Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, closed today. Although this change brings an official end to the VA's DEI program, the principles of equity, respect, and inclusion remain essential to who we are and what we do every day. They went on to say they were going to cancel some MLK birthday observance they had for today. Like, what's that got to do with DEI? It's a national holiday. It was Monday. And then it closes like this. Please know our EEO office will remain open and will continue to foster a welcoming and supportive environment for all veterans and employees. Thank you. And it's signed off on by Cindy Dorfner, who it says is U.S. Air Force retired, chief of public affairs for the VA healthcare system in Jeff Barracks. So as I suspected, you get a little bit of a butt monkey in there Laura Ingraham coined that phrase, I believe, when somebody tells you something and then they add the word but. So in other words, you know, they're going to keep doing it anyway with a wink and a nod, even though the office of DEI is now officially closed. And here we go again. Hopefully somebody at the top is paying attention and is expecting this exact problem. My guess is that they are. Hey, coming up, I've got Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. She was there in D.C. during the inauguration, during the festivities. She's been covering the rapid fire executive orders of Donald Trump. We're going to get to all of that and more with her right after the break.
This guy went around giving everybody pardons. And you know, the funny thing, maybe the sad thing, is he didn't give himself a pardon. And if you look at it, it all had to do with him.
There's only one Shannon.
Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday. Great to have her on again this morning. Shannon, how are you?
Good morning. I'm great. How are you guys?
I'm doing fine. You know, I watched Hannity's whole hour last night with Donald Trump, and I knew which headline was going to come out this morning. Did Donald Trump just threaten Joe Biden in that soundbite? Is he saying, well, he didn't pardon himself? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, just personally, I think, of course, that's going to be the headline. But listen, I mean, he's trying to make the point. If you're worried about your brothers and your sisters and their spouses and your son and all of these people who are all connected to you, it may raise some questions in the mind of other folks. But I really think that Donald Trump 2.0 term is not going to be about going after Joe Biden. His policies, for sure, and he's going to let these little suggestions linger out there, but I don't think the DOJ is going to have time.
And he pointed out in that same soundbite that he didn't go after Hillary Clinton last time.
Exactly right.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, another thing that's been hot this week is this issue of birthright citizenship. And, mm-hmm. and I think I heard somebody on Fox the other day suggesting, well, it's pretty clear this executive order was written with the intent that it would spur a challenge.
Yeah, I think we got to expect that for several of these executive orders, whether it's with the border or birthright citizenship or any of these other programs that President Trump is trying to now dismantle. I do expect that it's going to end up in the courts. I mean, it's already there. There are multiple lawsuits filed. So it's going to work its way through the system. I will not be surprised if it ends up at the Supreme Court. I mean, it is a huge constitutional question about the 14th Amendment. Supreme Court had a case on this back in 1898, which is the one that everybody kind of talks about this young man who was born to Chinese parents who were living in San Francisco. He left the country, tried to get back into the U.S., and they weren't recognizing him as a citizen. So back then the court said, hey, listen, the 14th Amendment says what you think it says, and that means this guy is a citizen. But a lot of time has passed and a lot of policies have changed, so we'll see if it ends up at the high court again.
Yeah, and is there, I mean, in your mind, is there a legitimate legal question there? Because I did read an analysis by an attorney mm-hmm. who said that if you go back and look at what the founders intended, mm-hmm. that might not have included people who were foreigners who came here not under jurisdiction of the U.S.
Right.
and had a child.
Right. It's that whole under the jurisdiction of the U.S. And I think that people who want to argue against birthright citizenship are going to say, okay, people come, say, from Venezuela. They come here illegally. They're not really under the auspices of the U.S. government because they're still Venezuelan citizens. I think that's going to be the argument. Although, you know, other folks will say, listen, if they're here, they are under having to obey our laws, traffic laws, whatever it is, everything else. So I think that's the phrase they're trying to turn on, under the jurisdiction thereof. And there are wiser, smarter legal scholars than I who are all over the place on this thing. So we'll see what the nine have to say if it gets there.
That's true. Shannon Bream is our guest, host of Fox News Sunday. And, you know, Shannon, how does it feel knowing, as host of a Sunday morning program now, that you probably have a pretty decent chance of getting the President of the United States on at some point?
Yeah, it's a little trickier under the Biden years. You know, every week we have this conversation with the White House, who's going out, who are we going to send, who can we have, you know, Secretary Blinken, or who can we have, almost never getting any of our requests granted for 4 years. So I've been doing the show for two of those. So listen, we're already having plenty of conversations with the current new administration about who can join the show. And I think at some point that will definitely involve the president. And we'll keep having balance. We're talking to all kinds of Democrat senators who are finding out they may be stuck here this weekend on confirmations. And we're like, hey, if you're stuck here anyway, come join us on set.
I love it. I love how that works. I want to switch to the Supreme Court for just a minute, because a couple things happened over there this week. And one of them involved a question about the use of force by police and whether or not they have to sort of check off a laundry list of ways to avoid pulling a gun if they can. To police officers, that mm-hmm. can be a dangerous, tricky road. What did you hear out of the justices yesterday?
Well, so this case deals with, use of police force and a guy who'd been pulled over and ensuing, you know, tries to take off. The police officer's holding on to his car, ends up shooting him. And the question is, are you just supposed to use what's happening in the seconds, the moment around the incident, or do you pull out? Does the officer have to be judged by the more overall comprehensive circumstances of the situation, not just that moment that the person's driving off with you hanging on, but everything that led up to that? So, you know, it's hard to tell exactly where they're going to go with these arguments, but it seemed like they were leaning more towards, because there's a lower court split over this, that the officer has to step back and take sort of a broader view of the entirety of the circumstances rather than just that split-second decision. But it's going to be a while before we know what they decide.
Yeah, and, you know, we've had that issue here. That question's come up before in the state of Missouri, where at one point they even floated the idea after Ferguson of requiring almost a laundry list that these officers would have to check mm-hmm. off before they resorted to deadly force. And my cop friends are like, you know, I'm dead in a split second.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, we're asking them to do an incredibly difficult job for not millions of dollars a year to protect our communities. And, you know, officers want to feel like if they are completely above board and making a decision with the best integrity and training that they have, it doesn't turn into something else. Mm-hmm. We all know there are bad cops out there. My dad, late father, used to be a law enforcement guy, and he's like, listen, nobody hates a bad cop worse than a good cop. They do exist, but the vast majority of them are out there putting their lives on the line, and they want to feel like they're going to be protected when they have to make really terrible decisions that they don't want to have to make.
That's a great point. Shannon, we'll be listening to Fox News Sunday this week. Thank you.
I'll see you then.
Yep. Thank you very much. Yep. Always good to get to Shannon on here. And I did not know she was the daughter of a member of law enforcement. That's new news there. All right. Griff Jenkins coming up. He's covering Tom Homan and some of the changes at the border. We'll be back.
Based on your initial schedule that today, roundups of criminal illegal aliens and the process of deporting them would begin. That seems to have been put on hold for a little while. When can we expect that to happen? Where will it begin?
No, it started. ICE teams are out there as of today. We gave them the direction to prioritize public safety threats that we're looking for. So we've been working up the target list. There was some discussion about Chicago because the specific operational plan was released. So we had to look at and reevaluate, does this raise officer safety concerns? And it does. Mm-hmm. But we've addressed that, and teams are out there effective today.
Yeah!
In Kyiv, Ukraine, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. Along the southern border, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. At the White House, Griff Jenkins, Fox News. In St. Louis, Griff Jenkins, Fox News.
Tell me where in the world is
Griff Jenkins.
Watch your back.
Hey, buddy. How you doing?
Hey, good morning. Dean Wormer is in the house in the form of Tom Homan, and he is cleaning up that animal house known as the border.
You guys might as well put him on retainer because he's been on Fox every day the past 4 or 5 days because everybody wants to know what's next, right?
Yeah, and look, you know, it is breathtaking how drastic the changes are. I was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning talking about what we're already seeing, and one Border Patrol agent said, we're off the leash. And that's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, this was Trump's signature campaign promise, and he is certainly delivering at least consequences. You saw my colleague Bill Malusian up in Boston now rounding up ICE's ERO officers, enforcement and removal officers, just cracking down on illegal alien criminals that committed a number of crimes, and you're going to see that continuing. The latest number that we have, which came from yesterday, which is that ICE had racked up more than 460 arrests since Trump was inaugurated, but I think that number is higher, and they're out on the streets now going after the bad guys, and that's what the American people voted for.
How long is it going to be, Griff, before the other members of the mainstream media are trying to dredge up stories of whipping illegals with, you know, the reins of their horses and, you know, ripping children from the arms of their parents? You know it's coming because that's how they're going to cover the story.
You know it's coming, but it's going to be interesting to see whether or not I am watching, and this is a little bit of Washington nerd insight, but the Congressional Hispanic Caucus has got a press conference today at noon. They've been blasting the birthright citizenship revocation as, you know, cruel and mean. And of course, they're going to be the loudest of those looking for any story in the press that is separating families. And by the way, President Biden never apologized for falsely accusing Border Patrol agents of whipping Haitian migrants, which simply did not happen. It was a real sore spot still to this day with Border Patrol agents. But the progressive Democrats, particularly in that Hispanic caucus, are going to be hunting for it. And we're going to hear in a press conference today how upset and outrageous Trump is with his, you know, deploying more troops to the border, the deportation, mass deportations, and, of course, the birthright citizenship. But I saw already, because I'm on all these emails, Ruben Gallego, who is a Democrat, Hispanic Democrat member, is already He voted for the Laken Riley Act, and he's writing in Politico today saying, you know, or Politico's writing about him in comments he made saying it's a warning for Democrats. And if Democrats push too hard to get on the wrong side of what is clearly a mandate of the American people, and the poll numbers from Fox polling and others have shown a majority of Americans supporting the deportations, not only for the criminals, but all those that are here illegally, it's going to be really real hurdle for Democrats to try and figure out where they stand, and could cost them dearly, at least looking at it early on in the midterms.
Wow. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that that at all. You know, I was looking at we had a bite earlier from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez talking about Elon Musk and his reaction the other night at the rally and all these fake stories about whether or not he was doing a Hitler salute and all this stuff. And yeah, Musk himself is just such an interesting character. And he's unusual in every sense of the term, right? His speech patterns, his body reactions to things. I couldn't believe how giddy he was at the thought of Donald Trump being in support of getting them back in space, right? And maybe going to Mars. Or you're covering that story today too, right?
I am literally 5 minutes after I get off this phone call, I'm hopefully going to have a hit here with Bill and Dana talking about that, because the race is on to the red planet. You're right. And what we're talking about, because remember, our viewers are like, well, we had like a rover there. There have been attempts to get there, but what we haven't done is to collect and return samples from Mars, because we believe that could have signs of life, and it could be ultimately be important for the future of humanity. And unlike the space race of the 60s, where we were up against Russia or the USSR, we've got China breathing down our neck. China announced plans to launch such a return sample mission to Mars by 2028, and that's ahead of NASA's projections. They said last year that our mission to Mars is over budget, behind schedule, and we probably can't get there till after 2030. But then it didn't get much play, and I'm going to play it to remind people that weird giddy thumbs up that Musk gave came after Trump said that, you know, we have a manifest destiny to plant an American flag on Mars. And he talked about ambition being the lifeblood of America, and saying, you know, we've never been more ambitious. And so, you know, while it looks like China's ahead of us right now, the U.S. clearly has one massive private sector advantage, and his name is Elon Musk, who already, before Trump was even elected, SpaceX had announced they're sending Starship rockets to Mars by 2026, which is literally next year. So, I mean, you talk about a guy that's going to take the red tape out. Trump's going to tell NASA in his administration to do, you know, get on board with Musk and let's beat China. And let's not, you know, it's fun to talk about. It's a water cooler topic. But in all honesty, it would be history-making, a defining achievement for America, if the U.S. were able to plant that flag on Mars and beat China. It would be one of those moments, and, you know, to not try to do so, I think, is a real lost opportunity.
Yeah, maybe we could plant a Tesla on Mars. I still love that image of that first rocket that Elon sent up with that Tesla on the cone of it and that mannequin sitting behind the wheel. Remember that? That was classic.
It's classic. And by the way, you know, on the serious space nerd front, I was talking yesterday to an aerospace expert that's at one of these think tanks, and he was saying that Musk has developed reusable rockets, and China has nothing like it. So SpaceX has already got, it's unclear to me exactly why that is a game changer, but the reusable rocket, in layman's terms, allows us to not have to start from scratch every time and build a new one. And a reusable rocket, whether it's a Tesla or not, could certainly accelerate our ambition if, as my mom used to say when I was getting those C minuses in school, Griffer, if there's a will, there's a way. You can get smarter in algebra. And, you know, I'm not sure I always accomplished it, but if there's a will, and it clearly appears there is one on the behalf of Trump, and the way is funding this, putting the resources and money behind it.
Right.
I think we could maybe talk someday down the road here, maybe next year, saying, wow, remember when we talked about this? They actually did it.
That's amazing. We'll look for your report here with Bill and Dana in a few minutes. Griff, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Have a good one. And by the way, I can't get on here and not say, go Commanders. I'm going to the game. You're going to be surprised.
Everybody's going to be rooting for the Commanders over the Eagles, I think, for sure.
Go Commanders,
all right,
baby.
See you, buddy.
See you, bye.
All right, bye. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I can't. I don't know who in America is going to be rooting for the Eagles. I could be wrong. That one guy who won't get to go to the games anymore will be rooting for him.
No, because they banned him.
Yeah, but he won't be at the game, but he'll be rooting for him. You know,
yeah, but
will.
The team banned him,
I
so.
Know. He's still an Eagles fan. He's still an Eagles fan. All right, we'll be back in just a minute. Stay tuned. Welcome back. You know, I want to remind you real quick about the fact that we're trying to feed our first responders. In fact, at the end of the month, I'll be delivering the first delicious box of food from Grillmaster Tony to a local first responder group. All you have to do is go online to 971talk.com to the contest tab there and nominate somebody. You know, do you know a police officer or a firefighter or maybe an EMS worker who goes above and beyond and they work hard every day and you want them to be recognized? Nominate them, and we will feed their department one day a month. We pick a winner, and we take food out there, and we do all that great stuff. So just go to 971talk.com/contest. Get your nominations in, because we're going to be picking a winner and delivering food at the end of next week. All right. Glad to have my friend Thomas Helbig from the Retirement Advisory Group in studio right now. Thomas, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Mark.
Absolutely. So we get to get together again on January 30th.
That's a week from today, next Thursday.
Yeah, that's right. It's coming up.
6:30 at the Frontenac Hilton.
Sneaking up on us. And, you know, here we are, new president, new administration. Everybody's looking at the stock market. But we know, you and I both know, that historically it's not always directly related to who's in the Oval Office as to what that market's going to do.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. Yeah. But with Trump in, over the long run, the markets are going to go up.
I think so.
We
I,
might have some of the analysts have said, even on from J.P. Morgan, they were saying we may have some volatility before the long run. Because things left over from the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Inflation was ticking up the last couple months. There were a lot of job losses, and they were lying about the job numbers. But in the long run, the markets are going to be up. But here's why you want to definitely make this event. And I've mentioned this in the last year, many years, as I'm online or on the radio talking about linking to the index. There are indexes out there that I'm going to teach next Thursday night. The S&P 500, just give you an example, make this short and sweet. The S&P last night closed at 6,086 points. Okay. They're going to record that if you open up your account as of yesterday. A year from now, on January 22nd of 2026, if that index ends up flat or anything above 6,086 points, you're going to get a guaranteed 8% return in your account. No downside risk, no fees. There's another index. It's called the S&P 500 Daily Risk Control. That index closed yesterday at 295. A year from now, if it ends up at 295 or above, you're going to get a 9.75% return. So I've got clients putting in 50% of one, 50% of the other index. We're linking to these two indexes, and you're going to earn every year between 8 and 10% with no downside risk. You can't lose any money and no fees.
Wow.
So folks, come learn these indexes. Come learn about how linking to the market is so powerful for your retirement savings. Whether if you're 59 and a half years old, you can roll over your 401k into an IRA and get these indexes.
I can't tell you how many people I talked to over the years who say, yeah, you know, I left this company a few years ago. I just left my 401k over there, haven't dealt with it. Those are the people that have no idea what the internal fees are on
what
those,
they're missing.
Right?
The fees in a 401k are between 3 to 5%. So, folks, with these strategies I teach you, there are no fees absolutely at all. Not any fees you'll ever pay. You'll have no downside risk. You'll never earn less than zero. So if these indexes end up down, instead of losing money when you're in the indexes or when you're in equity, you'll get a 0% return. That's the worst you'll ever earn.
Well, it's fantastic. So all you got to do is call 314-993-9494. You can go online to retirementkey.com. It's free. They just need a head count to make sure you have enough chairs and cookies,
absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely, and we are filling up. So folks, don't miss this. And again, I only speak for 45 minutes. You know that.
Yeah.
So you'll be out of there by 7:30.
Well, I'll be there. Of course, Annie Fry, Mark Reardon will be there. We get there about 6 o'clock, and Thomas and Bob will get underway around 6:30. You get a chance to kind of, you know, meet and greet with us for a half hour before things get started. And then
exactly.
It's always a great time, and we always fill the room with 97.1 listeners.
It's a great time. Folks, don't pass this up. If you're 59 and a half years old, if you got an IRA, a Roth, or a 401k, we can show you how to link to the index and protect your life savings.
Thomas Helbig, thank you for your support of
this show
and this radio station.
See you next Thursday, Mark.
We appreciate it. Absolutely. All right, Brian Kilmeade coming up. He'll have the latest on what's going on. It's a mile a minute coming out of this Trump administration. He'll have that covered for you. Annie Fry will be in at noon. Mark Reardon at 3 o'clock. Carl and I will see you back here tomorrow morning about 5 a.m.
Get more at 971talk.com.